All right. So today we have Tony as our special speaker. Today, Tony has 25 years in marketing and sales background. He has launched several podcasts for several different clients, including one that within six months of beginning the podcast had over 6,000 downloads and multiple five-star reviews. So he's going to be walking us through 17 considerations that we should, review before pressing record. So I believe, Tony, you have a presentation here ready for us. So if you know how to share your screen, you can do that. And then kind of go from there, and I'll facilitate any questions as they come up.
Fantastic. Excellent. You can see that okay?
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, Jace. First of all, Jace, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share things that I've learned over the last several years here. I'm not an expert. I've just done it more than others and less than some, right? We're somewhere in the middle. So I hope to help maybe in some folks in the audience, maybe we get some nods of like, oh, I didn't know that, or yeah, I made that mistake sort of thing, and hopefully prevent some others from making some of the mistakes I've made. So I like to boast and brag, like especially when I do a webinar for some clients, that I've made every mistake. I've forgotten to hit record. I've forgotten to share my audio 20 minutes in, had to start over. I've shut off the webinar midstream. I've made all the the mistakes here. So anyway. So I hopefully, but the goal for today is two things, really. Just share with you kind of my journey, my path, and hopefully, you pick up a few things and make a few less mistakes than I have. And the bonus material is that I've got a huge amount of files, templates, tools, and things that I think you'll enjoy, especially, whether you've started a podcast already, and maybe this will help tune you up a little bit. Or if you haven't started a podcast or just beginning, this might help kind of dial you in and save you a lot of work. I've created all this stuff kind of I've created this stuff kind of like from scratch or stolen or borrowed from other people with full attribution, of course. And then pass it on. Because people are always asking like, hey, can I get a copy of that? And I'm like, yes, you can have it. So including this PowerPoint. Awesome. So, Jace, if there's anything that, isn't clear, or anything like that, or you want to, hey, have me go a little deeper into that. Let me know. Otherwise I'm going to fly through these here and then we can maybe get into some discussion, or other questions that anybody might have. Awesome. All right. So I am currently the president of my local chapter of American Marketing Association. I'm an association executive at a association management company. I'm going to say association a lot today. Association management company. And what we do is we manage the operations for trade associations and medical societies. So, there is a Podcasters Association. There's a Wisconsin Podcasters Association. There's a American Dental Association. These are membership-based associations. And so what we do is we do all the things that the members and the board members don't want to do or shouldn't be doing, like, tactical things, choosing what to eat, chicken or fish or steak at the annual meeting, right? The president of the organization should not be making those sorts of decisions, right? Well, that's what we do. We run the meeting. We run the website. We collect the dues. All for a fee, right? That's kind of our business model. I'm in marketing and membership there. So I found myself in podcasting because I wanted to connect with membership and help them talk to each other and help sponsors connect with members and vice versa, that sort of thing. I used to be a DJ at a roller rink. I've been a mobile DJ for like weddings and class reunions and middle school dances and all that kind of good stuff. And I was a DJ at my college radio station. So do you see a trend here, maybe? I don't know. And actually, it says develop and host a 5 podcast. That's 6 now. So what would Freud say about this here? So he might say, you've got these latent tendencies, you wannabe DJ or something like that. Wannabe broadcast. So this is just a previous client, a nonprofit client, because that's where I spend most of my time. Although just to be careful, nonprofit is purely a tax status. Doesn't mean there's no profit. You know, you do want to have less cost than your revenue. So yeah, there is profit in nonprofits technically. just not as the IRS is concerned.
Yeah.
I was hired on at my organization to get this buyer's guide going. And it was kind of limping along. My job was to sell, you know, upgrades to these profiles where people could come kind of shop for that kind of a member, this kind of a business. And, you know, there would be PDFs and white papers and brochures and contact information, right? And my job was to upsell that. And so there wasn't a lot of activity, right? None of the members said I was getting leads from this. None of the members were saying, even knew that this thing existed. And then the association had a certification that would kind of put the rubber stamp on these organizations. And nobody really knew about that. So part of my strategy was to talk to these folks and build trust with them so that I could, you know, really upsell them. So if you did an interview, if you bought an upgrade, I'm going to interview you and then allow more people to know about you, because I'm not going to sit down and read your white paper, but maybe I'll listen to an interview with you. Right. So focus on those. So long story short, after 6 months and 22 episodes, we ended up with 12,000 downloads, and counting, and 6 5-star reviews. And one member said that they were recognized. Hey, weren't you that guy that was interviewed by, you know, CSIA, which is the company or the organization? And so that's, I'm like, mission accomplished, right? And that was just the start of everything. So we knew we had a hit. This was a very niche subject matter, right? So not something I would expect 12,000 downloads from, right? Or, you know, anything like that. This was about industrial automation, manufacturing automation, right? How it's made, right? Those sorts of things, those companies, you see things. That's kind of what these people are into, is the engineering side of that. And so not a place where I would expect a high amount of traffic for the, you know, again, there's people probably doing, you know, in fitness and other places, or other places doing tens of thousands, but this was a lot for these guys, right? Mm-hmm. And so then just kind of an indirect, you know, attribution here is we started to see more activity on the site. People were coming to the site to shop for these members and asking questions. And so I was seeing a lot of, you know, looking from the SEO, the search engine optimization, and where people were coming from, I could definitely see that the podcast was partially to blame, partially credit for this activity.
How did you credit that? Because I think that's so, it's kind of confusing to a lot of people, where they're like, okay, how do I know if somebody's coming from my podcast versus anywhere else?
Well, and that's something you can deliberately do with like specialized tracking links, right? You can see like, oh, I'm going to put a link in that, in the description of the podcast, that sort of thing. Or maybe you say, hey, if you say this special code word and you act anecdotal, right? You just kind of hear things and you know that, oh, I heard about your podcast, or hey, I recognize you from your podcast. That sort of thing. And that's the challenge of marketers, right? The boss wants to know, did this lead come in from the salesperson, or did you generate that lead?
Yeah.
Did it come in from this trade show, or did somebody cold call that guy? Where did the lead come from? Because then we know where to, you know, I'm going to hire more cold callers, or I'm going to hire more marketing people and put money into, you know, Google ads or Facebook and marketing and that sort of thing. So that's a whole nother talk, I guess, about marketing attribution, right? So I didn't know how this, I should have asked this before, Jace, but I guess I would just, this would be something I normally ask. I don't know if there's a way to ask this out or somebody sort of feedback, Jace, on this, but typically what I'll try to find out of, like, you know, is there, you know, who started a podcast, maybe some people have started a podcast and it's going strong, or, hey, I want to start a podcast and I'm here to learn. So I don't know if there's any way to ask that live or not, but if not, we can move on.
Yeah, we only have a yes, no poll here, so.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
We'll move on. We'll move on to that. So, okay, so here we go. Number one. Now I have 18, so bonus, not just 17. First one is, what do you want to do? Like, even if you're like well into your podcast, you know, just think about with, you know, advocacy in Washington, right? Maybe you're trying to shape public perception. Maybe this is a passion project for you. Maybe you're someone who, you know, speaks to a group or a generation of folks, right? So really narrow down, what do you want to do, and make sure this is aligned, because if you're doing this, you know, half-heartedly, it's not going to last. If you're doing this without a real plan that you're going to stick with, you're going to fail, just because it's not going to be burned. This has got to be something you want to do for free. Right. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully get paid for it, if that's what your goal is. Right. So that's when I see a lot of people on the podcast group, like, you know, the three episodes in, and I'll talk about this later, you know, they're like, how do I get advertisers? And I'm like, whoa, slow down. Why are you doing this? So, all right. Do you know your audience? Right. Almost the same question. Who are you doing this for? You should do this for yourself. Right. You should do this for yourself. And that is the type of person that you should be speaking to. But from a marketer standpoint, you should think about, who are the people I want to talk to? So Jace, you have like a fitness recovery, podcast, right? You talk to people about how to get the most out of your body when your body says no.
Exactly.
Right. Right. So you probably have a pretty good idea of who do it. You probably are talking to people who are in triathlons or multiple events, ultra marathons, right? And so if you're marketing to people, you're probably going to mention those things or go to where those people are. There's probably communities out there of ultra marathoners and triathlons, and I don't know. Is there anybody else that you're trying to, you know, get in front of?
I do listen or interview researchers too. So it might not necessarily be the top athletes, but they're doing the research part of it. For the recovery,
right. Physiology geeks and nerds, right?
Doctors, people that have gone to school a lot longer than I have.
That the science of it is exciting too. So exactly right. No, try not to be everything to everyone, right? I did a podcast for this client, and it was really owned to people who are automated or into automation, industrial automation, relatively narrow. A narrow field. Don't try to be everything to everyone. Okay. Will you do what it takes? Right. I'm going to say the same thing 18 different times almost, right? No, it goes back to the first one that says you got to commit to this, right? What is your why? What are you doing this for? iTunes and other directories are littered with podcasts that have less than 10 episodes and they gave up. Right. So make sure you're in it for the long haul. And don't give up, right? 10 episodes in, you're going to be still figuring it out. So while I'm going to advocate for you to like plan ahead and do stuff before you hit record, you're still going to be getting up to speed, right? Marathoners, athletes, you know, that first mile is probably the toughest, right? First couple miles.
Just getting out the door.
That's right. Getting to the gym or right. You know, the first, I'm not a long distance athlete, but just running a 5K, right? 3 miles, 3.1 miles. That first mile is the toughest. The second mile is great. And then you're like, all right, I'm almost done. Right. All right. So like I say here is about the time you're giving up. A lot of people give up, not you. When people are kind of like, you know, they're not sure where they're going. That's when you're starting to catch on. That's when you might start to kind of find a bit of an audience here.
Yeah.
Okay, so how often are you going to do this, right? You got a kids and family and a job and other hobbies and other things like that. You got to make a plan. You got to, how often are you going to do this? And then if you're not sure you're going to do this weekly or every single month, then do it in seasons, right? Do 10 at a time. Stop, take a break. You're going to have lapses. People are going to get sick. You're going to get crazy at work. you're going to want to go on vacation and you're going to want to stop for Christmas or something like that, or other holidays, sort of that sort of thing. So stock up on some episodes, find a schedule, then commit to that, but don't overload yourself.
For sure. Yeah. I got a question on that.
Yeah.
Common question here. Is it like, how do you transition? Say you started like, hey, I wanted to do a weekly show. You started a weekly show. Then you're like, oh, man, I need to do every other week or once a month, or vice versa. You're like, I'm doing a monthly show. Now I think I can do a weekly show. Or I started out just doing a weekly show and now I want to make it a season. Like, how would you potentially transition that mid cycle?
I would just do it, right? But just be consistent about it. Don't go back and forth. Don't say you're going to do it and then go back, right? Mm-hmm. Back and forth. So, I mean, maybe you want to go back and retcon your episodes and call them a season, right? You're like, oh, I'm 12 episodes in. And then you're going to go back to your podcast host and then mark it as season one and then through episode 12 and then stop. Maybe you just do it. And then you just say you're going to do it on a particular episode. And then that way people, you know what to know, what could expect. So I don't know if you need, that would be my tech. Just do it and then just move on. Right. I don't really need to dwell.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. Yeah. What would you do? Have you done that?
I haven't. I've back to the, well, do whatever it takes. When my son was born, I released my podcast on a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. and he was born Tuesday morning at 2 a.m. and I hadn't released my podcast yet. It was all recorded and stuff, just not edited and uploaded. We got up to the delivery room at like 5 and I had an hour to release it, and I did.
That is commitment.
Because I wanted to be, you know, that consistent. I didn't want people to, I didn't want it to release a day later, just because I had that commitment to it, instead of like, it's not a big deal. Like, to me, it was a big deal.
Right. Right.
So
I appreciate that commitment. That's great. I mean, even, I think that's important, right? To have that level of commitment. I think what's important is sometimes is to do your best and kind of go through and develop what your flow looks like. And that's why I'm going to come and talk about this is, you know, the theme of this is like, you're going to want to plan, but then also you're going to want to plan to make a change. Right. So, you're going to, you know, get to a point where you're going to want to make a change, right? You're like, oh, my priorities have changed. And then, so maybe you do go back to monthly, be consistent about it and be true to your audience. And because even if you only have 5 listeners a month, those 5 people are important to you and they're counting on it. And then I would say when on episode 1, I'm a big proponent of just starting, not telling people what you're going to do, just do it. And then go back and record an episode 0. And episode 0 is the one that says, here's what I'm going to do. But episode 1, like, we're going to do weekly. And then what if you don't? And now you have to like cut that out, or what do you do? So, right. Exactly. So, all right. So who's going to host it? Well, maybe you, or maybe you've got a team. I see a lot of people on the podcast group asking for, who wants to host a podcast for me? That's like saying, who wants to be my best friend? That I don't like that. I think that has to be an organic thing. Like, if you're going to, first of all, it's tough enough to get yourself out of bed or get yourself on the microphone week in and week out. Mm-hmm. Jace is out there doing it here. His kid's being born and he's telling his wife, I got to go post this thing, right? That's commitment. Now you're going to double that or triple that with two or three hosts. Mm-hmm. I would really caution. I think you should do this with your best friend or a trusted colleague, not somebody from the internet, right? Or you better get to know them and realize that they have the same commitment as you do. You know, it's somebody taught me one time, never always, right? There's no hard and fast rule. I wouldn't say never do it. Just be careful out there. So 100%. This ties into like, what's the format going to be, right? So is it the host? Is it host driven? Is it driven by the guest? That sort of thing, right? Because that's going to give you a feel and tone of the show. Mm-hmm. So here we go. What's the format? highly produced, non-edited, raw, very a serialized type of NPR style podcast, single host, multiple. Maybe you write this 5-page essay and you're reading it, long form interview, right? A lot of different. So you really have to think about when you say, I want to start a podcast, you got to think this stuff through, because I think this is where you're going to people are going to say, hey, I want to come on your podcast, right? Somebody's promoting a book or, you know, some sort of author or something like that. And you got to make that decision. Like, well, does this fit what I want to do? I wasn't planning on doing interviews. I was just planning, you know, I don't, you know, so you have to think that stuff sort of through, because people that want to be on your podcast, or you asking people to be on your podcast, can derail you very quickly. So you have to be true to yourself, and you have to be willing to say no to a guest, or no to somebody who wants to be, if it doesn't fit your plan. Right? Where do you see your podcast in 5 episodes or for 20 episodes? You know, that old interview question, right? Where do you see it going? What is it going to be? And maybe doesn't always get there, but makes you kind of can see more than an episode or two ahead.
And I would imagine when you're thinking about what's going to be the format of the episode, that you would, you know, go back to the first 5 points of consideration, you know, who is your audience? What are you looking to accomplish? Those would probably be the main drivers.
This all ties in. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Stick to a script. Will you stick to a script? So a script can be very simple, right? This is not necessarily the word for word, but this is like the structure. So this will also kind of say, how does your podcast sound? So sometimes you'll hear or ads, right? There's all different ways. There's no right or wrong way, but I would say be consistent about that. And I would say script that out, right? Put that into a flow chart, get a pencil and paper, back of the envelope, something like this. I have a copy of this for everybody. This is just DJ comes in and says something over the top of a song, or says something interesting between songs. That is all scripted. You couldn't run a 4-hour radio show without it. So you don't want to do this, you know, on a 30-minute session or an hour session with another guest without some sort of structure like that.
It's a good point. I think people like demonize a script where, like, because then you sound robotic, but it really is just how you read the script, if it is.
Right. And it's just, this is the beginning, right? And so, yeah, I'm not saying read the script, but this is, you got to have to, you know, what is the, just trying to think of, like, you know, everything's written, right? Everything's written at some point. If you're an actor in a play, all that stuff's written, but you're not reading the play out loud. You've got it memorized and internalized, and then you're giving different inflections. So that's what you have to do. So when you write this thing, it should not, you know, the first time you go on and do your podcast is not the first time you should have read that, right? You should have read this, get rid of all the, if you're stuttering over it, rewrite it so that it comes out right. Right. So sometimes I write way different than I talk. You know, I'm more formal, and I'm like, right now, but, you know, I'm more formal in mind, but, on in text. So I might not want to speak that way necessarily. I might want to, or give myself bullet points. Maybe I'm more of an extemporaneous speaker, but I do need to have bullet points to at least to kind of guide my thinking.
For sure.
And guy might talk. So again, no right or wrong way. Just, you know, don't wing it, I would say. All right. So how are you going to schedule guests, right? So before, when we get to meet with people, this was a big thing, right? You had to meet with people remotely. And we'll talk about that in a future slide as well. But now, especially since we're all remote, and we're all, probably most people are doing podcasts remotely, how are you going to schedule them? You know, you don't want to send 50 emails back and forth. Oh, it's 2 o'clock work. Nope. 2:30. Nope. How about next Friday? You got to maybe make it easy on them. So use something like Calendly. It's a bunch of tools that will basically connect into your Google Calendar, your Outlook 365 calendar, and book a meeting. And then, you know, record podcasts on certain days. Don't let somebody book an 8:30 Monday morning call unless you're really up for that, right? So I like to, like, reduce my availability, like I'm going to record on Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 3 because that's when I feel the freshest on this. But if I'm recording one at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe after a long day, I'm not going to be my best. That sort of thing. So think about, you know, when you're going to be available. How do you prepare the guest, right? So I've got a document for this as well. So make sure you have communicated with them what you expect, right, of them, right? So if they're an author and they want to promote this, like, great. So then let them know, like, when they can promote that up front, at the end, during. Make sure that, again, on the other end, if they're remote, when you're not in person, try to make sure you coach them. People sometimes are very oblivious to what's going on in their house noise-wise, right? Not everybody has a fancy microphone like mm-hmm. us podcasters have. They've got, you know, a lot of cases, you know, this is my USB desktop microphone. Or they've got, you know, AirPods, whatever, which to me sound very muddy in recordings. So you have to tell them what you want for your best sound, I think, and flow, right? So if it's okay, the cat and the dog come in and bark or whatever, these days it is, right? We know this is, but before then, you know, you wanted to keep your audio pristine, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So make sure, you know, like, okay, hey, you should be plugged in, you know, make sure you plug it into your router back here, not wireless, because if we're recording over Zoom, it might be kind of choppy and I don't want to lose anything unless you're using, you know, Zencaster, where you're going to get that local audio, that sort of thing. So anyway, make sure. And again, I've got a document that helps prepare the speaker. You're going to have that too. So that, and again, take it, steal it. It's Word. You can steal it. All right. Awesome. Make it your own because I got it from someone else too. All right. How will you conduct the podcast, especially if you're not in person? We'll talk about gear in a second, but you know, Zoom or Zencaster. What's the river? What's the name of that one?
Riverside.fm.
Riverside, right? These are all platforms that have popped up. I'm going to use Zencaster video here for a podcast coming up later this month. I haven't done that. I've done Zencaster, but not the video version. So, you know, you can still use Skype. I don't like Skype as much. Seems like it. I get a lot of buffery, kind of hangs up for me, but I haven't had great luck with it. So, but just, you know, think about what platform will you use? What kind of audio do you want? If you use Zoom, you're probably going to end up with that web version of the audio versus something like Zencaster, has the, you know, that local audio. Now, somebody told me that Zoom, you can do the original audio, but I haven't quite figured out how to do that. So somebody knows how to use Zoom, but actually record the local audio, I would love to learn it. So
I know how to do that from my end, but not the guest's end.
There, that's the challenge, right? And so, yeah, if there's a way, without a lot of coaching, right? If I have to coach someone who's not super techie and doesn't have a microphone like this, they're probably not going to know how to do that, right? So there may be a way, but like something like for me, Zencaster, I don't have to tell them anything about that. It's like, here, click this link. Let's talk, right?
Yeah.
Shut yourself in a quiet room. Let's go.
Now, is Zencaster a paid software, or is it free to a certain extent?
It's a freemium. They have, it's like Zoom, right? You can get a lot of stuff for free from it. I think they have a certain amount of hours per month.
Okay.
Free. And then they have like this beta of their video where it's, you can record the video or just see the video, but then not record the video. So you can just kind of see, you know, visual cues, right? Mm-hmm. Social cues, and just keep the audio. And that's what I like. I don't necessarily want to do video because that adds a whole, you know, level of editing you have to worry about, but just audio, but just so I can see, like, oh, it looks like Jace wants to talk, I'm going to shut up now, sort of thing. It's good to have video for. And then they, again, certain amount of hours for that. And I think it's, you know, again, they have different levels, you know, 10, 20 bucks a month, that sort of thing. On most of these. And I know, like, speaking of, you know, or not speaking of, but, you know, like Apple a while back had gone away. They had like totally removed podcasting features from GarageBand, but it sounds like I don't have a newer Mac. I have an old 10-year-old Mac. Oh. But I heard that they have coming back. Some of these things are coming back now.
Cool.
All right.
I'm a PC guy. So
your PC guy. Yeah. I have an old Mac and it's still, still plugging along. So I probably would have bought four PCs to my one Mac. So. And I'm not a Mac guy. All right. So anyway, so what equipment are you going to need? Well, you don't need any equipment, really. You know, again, we all know probably by now that you need a recording device and start going with some of that stuff. Don't worry about spending a lot of money on something. But, you know, at this point, podcasting is so pervasive or getting more pervasive. There's a lot of gear on Craigslist. There's a lot of gear on Facebook Marketplace, a lot of used gear out there. You can probably get something pretty inexpensive. But even brand new, again, you know, $500 is a lot of money to me. But, you know, if you really want to be serious about this and you want kind of a, you know, there's hobbies that cost a lot more money than podcasting, I would say. So for $500 or $750, you can get a pretty good, decent mobile setup, right? I used to, for $750, I had a mobile setup for a client fit inside a Swiss Gear backpack. That was with, that was with full stand. Now it weighed 40 pounds. But, you know, I had stands and I had shock mounts and all this stuff. All in that backpack. So you can get a decent, you know, if you want to go hit the road when we all get back to traveling, you have a decent mobile studio. All right. Platform. We talked about that a little bit here. There's lots of different, you know, think about which platform. Don't just jump into the free one and then think, oh, find out 6 months later you got to jump ship because it's not fitting your needs anymore. These are just, you know, there's dozens, if not, you know, plenty of platforms out there. So look and find one that's going to meet for you. I like personally Libsyn a lot because you can jump back and forth. I like their pricing model for $5 a month just to let it sit. It doesn't cost me a lot of money. And I know I don't have any issues with it. Now Anchor is obviously free out there, but nothing's really free, right? If it doesn't cost anything, you are the product, your data is the product. And if you're okay with that, perfect. Like, in fact, my wife has her podcast on Anchor and I have one of my clients on Anchor because we don't publish all that often. And I don't want to just be running up a bill for my client or whatever, or personally, but just be aware that, you know, if something is free, there's always a price to pay. How's that for a motto? Here we go. So think about where you're going to be and what is your budget allow for, but I think if you try to, can you move podcasts hosts from one place to another without losing subscribers? Yes, but you don't want to be doing that all the time, right? So find a home and live there, right?
You do tend to lose your stats.
You can, right? You're going to lose that for sure, right? All right, here's where I really start to, you know, I said in the beginning, like, slow down, like, whoa, when I said, can I advertise? Can I do this? Like, I would say really, like, do that backstage work and get all that stuff down. Get your editing process workflow down. You might get three episodes in and then decide, I really hate that intro music, right? But if you're out there like episode one telling everybody about it, stuff's going to have to change. You're going to have different versions out there. I would let this thing breathe. And I'm going to have a little video here that will explain that here in a second, but just like really like don't press record yet. Figure some of this stuff out as we're talking beforehand. Then as you're starting to post, like just keep it on the down low, like really keep it slow. And I know that's probably counterintuitive to what a lot of people say or want to do, right? But I really say like, you're going to, those first five episodes are like, you're really learning a lot in those. And so like, be careful in that when that first few is, and just really kind of hone your skills, hone what your product is going to sound like. Cause I've changed stuff from episode one to episode five, right? Which is sound and delivery and, my script, right? Remember our flow of my script, I've switched stuff around and you want to be consistent. Okay. All right. Now you're doing a hard launch, right? Now you're going to tell everybody about it, right? So how do you do that, right? So we talked about where's your audience, right? So maybe you've been building a Facebook group, or maybe you're part of a Facebook group, or you know, if you're doing this professionally at an organization, you know, maybe you've got some sort of online forum that's part of the industry. You've got a mailing list. You've got a Facebook or company page. You also want to really leverage, and this is what comes back to your speaker prep, is leverage your speakers or your guests to share their episode, right? Make sure that you tag and like and share their stuff. And then when they see that, they will like and share and tag and then share your stuff out there, right? Because, you know, most of us don't have a mailing list of 10,000 people or 5,000 people. But you can get there. You can get out to that many people by, you know, connecting with the right people and asking their people, asking your people to share with their people, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're getting out to this larger sphere or multiple spheres of people out there. And then, oh, and I have a plan. You know, one thing I didn't create in there is I couldn't find it, but I know I have it, is just a kind of, it's kind of basically what this is, but a bulleted list of, like, you know, where to share and how to share and please do this and that sort of thing. And some of that's in that, in one of those speaker preps, but I think there's another document that I'm still missing that I'll share with you guys.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right. Press release. And then again, should I advertise or shouldn't I go big with this yet? Let me share this question with a video. All right. Who's this guy? This is Anthony Bourdain. Interesting guy, right? Yeah, no reservations required. TV host guy, passed away, unfortunately, I think a year or two ago. But he has a great philosophy that I like to adopt when it talks about when releasing a podcast or working on a podcast and then telling people about it. Kind of when I said slow your roll. So I say releasing a podcast is like cooking a steak. So I think I'm sharing my audio here. So I want to make sure I am sharing my audio. Let's see if we can hear this. Can you hear that okay?
Nope.
All right, let's go back here. Let me just make sure I am. I clicked the share audio on when we were in the backstage here. Let me go back, present to audience, screen share audio. There we go. Okay, can you guys hear any music now?
We can't see your screen now.
Oh, let me go back. Share. Screen's there. There we go. Okay, how's that?
Comment, okay.
You can see it now?
Yep.
Okay, let me just double check audio.
Maybe the most overlooked.
Good, okay, let me start that over.
Do not touch it. And here is maybe the most overlooked feature or factor in the success or failure of a steak, particularly a thick steak, but it's true of all meat. This magical period immediately following its removal from the heat, it should rest on the board, meaning sit there at room temperature for 5 to 7 minutes, at which point stay away from it. Don't touch it. Don't poke it. Don't slice it to look inside. Do not start slicing it into slices right away. What's going on inside is it is continuing to cook, but even more importantly, the juices are distributing themselves in a truly wonderful alignment. That's why if you cut into a steak too quickly off the barbecue, you get this sort of bullseye pattern instead of what it should be, a gentle graduation from red to various hues of pink to the outer crust. All the difference in the world between a good steak and a totally messed up steak is going on in that period of time that you're just doing nothing. Nothing. I'm gonna find a good hot sizzling, either grill or pan, get a good crust and sear on the outside. You want to finish it either in the oven or all the way on the grill, and then just let it sit. Don't wrap it in foil. Don't cover it. Don't poke it. Don't prod it. Don't even look at it. Just let it sit there. Leave it alone, and you will be rewarded.
So now every time I bring in a steak off the grill, I tell my wife and my son, don't even look at it. This is a... So it, to me, I like sharing that video because it's like, yes, just stop. Don't, you know, ads, sponsorship, going big. Like to me, like maybe, but let's figure out what this is first, right? All the juices are in there in that first 10 episodes. Like just get it going, build the furnace, and then go, right? And you'll know when that is, but it's not episode one, right? It's not probably episode five. It's get it down, work it out, and then go, right?
Exactly.
Same thing with ads and sponsorship, right? Just do good work, build the content. If there will be sponsors, they'll probably find you, right? And you won't even have to ask. So have a plan. Make sure you have a prospectus or a place to, like, you know, a rate card or a sheet so that you have that kind of figured out. Don't go ask for advertisers and then not know what to charge them, right? Or know what your, how many listener, you know, how many listen, they're going to say how many listeners, who's your base, who's your demographic, right? You got to know that up front if you're going to ask for money, right? Yeah. All right. Who's going to do this for you? Now I see a lot of people talking about, like, who wants to be my editor? Who can edit this for me? That sort of thing. Like, so same thing, right? Careful with, you know, who you give your baby to. Make sure you trust, like, and know that person. And then, you know, if you do want to do it yourself, it's going to be time consuming, especially that first 10 episodes, right? Until you figure out what your script is, until you get some of those things that are pre-recorded bumpers or intros and sort of things that you can kind of build a podcast template instead of Audacity or Logic or whatever you're using. Some of that stuff's going to be very manual up front. When you start to get a little further in, then you're like, oh, here's my standard intro. Here's my standard, you know, thing in the middle. And here's my standard thing on the outro. And then everything else is new every single time, right? How do you do yours, Chase?
I actually have a production team that I've built because I do other people's podcasts as well. So then I was like, really, what it came down to was I said, I don't want to do this myself. And that kind of stuff. But just know you are getting what you're paying for there. Like, they won't care about your podcast as much as you do. So if you have somebody that is editing and then publishing for you, make sure you're still quality checking if you don't have that trust there yet, because you don't want to run into a situation where, you know, you have like that that warm up before you actually hit, you know, get into the podcast. Sometimes they don't take that out. Sometimes, you know, they just literally stitch things together and put it in. Right. So just be careful who you're.
Yeah. So, well, you got to set expectations, right? So you got to give them the script so they know what the format is. Exactly. And then you say, I want my intro here. And then I want a little like zinger or a little stinger here of, you know, that person speaking that gives the listener a reason to stay. And then you got to give them a structure because it's like, you know, web design. If anybody's ever done any web design or any graphic design or any work for any customers, right? The customer will say, well, I don't know what I want until I see it. And then I'll say, then I don't like it, right? But if you, so you got to be careful with that. So you don't want to like just guess at it. And then you have to really kind of like force that customer to tell you what they want. They might not know exactly, but you gotta like be a professional enough to get that out of them, even though they may not know what it is up front. Otherwise you're gonna be like spinning your wheels and re-editing and like, how about this? And they're like, nope, how about this? Nope.
Exactly.
You're gonna spend all your profit. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you might be getting into this too, but looking at what you're gonna produce from the podcast too, is it just audio or is it audio and video, or are you doing like quotes from it or, you know, social media clips from it? All that needs to be worked out with you and your production person before, you know, giving them your audio and expecting, you know, the best, or hope it's the best.
Yeah. And if you're doing it yourself or they're doing it, like starting with, like, what I like to do is if I am going to have a video / audio podcast, well, I'm going to start editing the video because I don't want to like do the video and then go back and have to edit in Audacity after that again and make all those same cuts and all those same edits and all my ums and all that, whatever. Right. Yeah. I want to do it in video first, and then I'm going to export out to Audacity and then make the intro and all that stuff. But all my raw audio is not raw anymore by the time it comes out of audio. At least that's the way I like to do it. Yeah. So you have to think about that workflow as well.
Exactly.
All right. So if you're doing this professionally for your company or something like that, or even you, or, you know, do you or your leadership have the patience for this podcast, right? And maybe your leadership is your spouse, right? Because if this is going to take up a fair amount of time, right? That's the leader. That's the CEO over there. You got to think about that stuff, because if you're going to be traveling, if you're going to be going on location somewhere, if you're going to be holed up in your office, you know, 3 hours a week editing and doing, or more, probably more, you know, you got to make all those considerations. And if you're doing this, and so I say that in jest, right, of the family life, but really on the business side of thing, you got to make sure your leadership, your president, your CEO, your boss is on board with this, because if they're not, and they're expecting like all this business to come out of you spending all this fun time doing recording and editing and that sort of stuff, you got to make sure the expectations are set. So like, hey, this is a long tail project. And so when I said, hey, we did 6,000 or 12,000 downloads, you know, and well, how do we know that's worth it? Right. Well, how many memberships or how many, you know, upgrades did we sell, Tony, from that? Right. I have to answer that question. Like, why are you doing this? Right? Yeah. It has to make sense back at the end of the day. So make sure you've got this kind of cleared, or at least they've got the patience for you to do something that doesn't always show money or clicks, traffic, whatever you're trying to generate on the other end. All right. So we're coming in for the landing here. I love this. In fact, I want to get this printed and put up on my wall.
Yeah.
The emotional journey of creating anything great, no matter whether you're starting a podcast, starting a new job, hopefully not marriage, but any new project, right? You're going to go through a high, and then you're going to like, whew, this is real work. And then, oh my God, why did I do this? And then you're going to come out of it. Right. And so that's that first 10 episodes to me, right. It's that first part of it. You're like, you're going to, oh my, this is way more work than I thought it was going to be. Right. And so you're going to travel through this. So just think about where you are in this at this point. All right. Bonus content. So that's kind of, that's everything there. I wanted to share with you some of the things that we've talked about now. This is all available for free. I've just got this on my Dropbox. So just go ahead and grab this. If you want to write this down, or if you want to share this with people, Jace, later on,
yeah,
feel free to do that. So, all right. So I built my script from the CDC has a audio script writing guide. I don't know why. But they do. So it's just kind of a weird source of information, but it's great stuff. It's right. I just found it on the internet. Right. But so that's in there. And then, some podcast directory submitter tracker, like, you know, when you're first launching, I would say before you go in hard launch, right. You have to have one episode be able to launch something. Right. And so that's why I think that episode zero is valuable. So you can tell people what this is going to be about, but there's, you know, and then maybe you've got already other episodes going, but before you release that out, right, you got to submit to all these. And sometimes these take several days. For iHeartRadio, you need an account that's 2 months old. You can't get on iHeartRadio right away. So I would like go through all this stuff, spend a week or a few days submitting to all this stuff. This is the juices that are flowing, like Anthony Bourdain talked about. You got to get all this stuff done. And then when you go and say, here's my podcast, you can say wherever podcasts are, you know, listen on blank, or wherever you listen to podcasts, right? And it'll be true, because it'll be on Google Play, Overcast, iTunes, iHeartRadio, blah, 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 all these, right? And more, right? There's always a new directory.
Yeah.
podcast promotional plan, right? So this is the document that I think I still need to provide here, but it just says, you know, like, and this is something you give to the speaker or your guests and say, here, go do this on your platform, right? That's cool stuff. This is from Daniel J. Lewis. We all know him. This is his podcast pre-flight checklist, right? To before you get ready to record. So that's in there. And then a sample equipment list is in there. This has changed a little bit, but it's just a general idea of maybe, you know, what's in the backpack sort of thing. What's in that? What can you do with $500? What can you do for $750? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Okay. Prepare your guests. That's in there that you can download that. This is again, a Word doc that you can change up and just help coach them through that. And that's it. And then you can check out, these are you know, a lot of the information I got was from these resources, the podcast host, Audacity, Daniel J. Lewis and Ray Ortega are some of the people that I look up to when I first started this. So anyway, that was a lot. That was a solid 57 minutes of stuff. Hopefully we're still awake.
Are there any questions from the audience of what Tony has covered? And Tony, I would imagine that all the files you said or showed today are in that link bit.ly/launchpodcast2021.
Yep. The one exception is that I believe, because I had some of this stuff and it was kind of branded with AMA because I've done this presentation, a similar one to AMA. Sure. And it had that. So I moved stuff over into a separate folder for this presentation, but I think I need to re-edit that one. It's basically a promo plan for your guests. You say, okay, sure. Now you did your guest spot. Thanks so much for joining us here. Now go do this on your end, please. That document is not in there, but I'll do that, later tonight or tomorrow. So check there. It's a Dropbox. It'll update. So check it.
Sweet. Okay. Sounds good. Well, we don't have any questions from the audience. So you did a perfect job, explaining everything, obviously as good as you could. And everybody understood everything. So awesome.
Did such a good job that nobody has any questions.
Sounds good. So thanks again, Tony, for doing the special speaking today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Links for all those who are here live with us. We'll put a link in the chat. And then if you're watching the replay, whether on YouTube or in the audio version of this, we'll have links in the notes and descriptions there for you to check out all this valuable information that Tony shared with us today.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jace. Thanks, everybody. And feel free to email if you